Welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast with your host, Steve Abramowitz, Managing Director of Mill Creek Financial Partners.
Hello and good day to y'all, and welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast. I have a great show for you focused on the volunteer state and our nation today, with always an interesting person making a positive change in our community. This time, special guest James Stokey, owner-operator of Your Flag Store from right here in Harriman, Tennessee. But first, for more information about the Mill Creek View podcast, visit us on Amazon Music or Podomatic at Mill Creek View Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to the show so you won't miss a single episode. Y'all got me to number 4 in the country last week of Mazeballs. Thank you for listening. Welcome to our People in the News episode, where I interview people who are making an impact and are lovers of truth. This week, we are talking with James Stokey from Your Flag Store. One day, our son, Max, asked me if we could start a family business. When I asked him what his idea was, I couldn't believe what an amazing idea he had. He said, "I want to build American flags with you, and I want mommy to put artwork on them." I could not be more proud. My son had a great idea that involved his family, art, carpentry, and America. The next day, we built our first flag and put the following day, we put it on Facebook, and we sold 5 flags right away. Over the days, weeks, and months to come, the orders just kept on coming. After 6 months, my wife and I had to make a very tough choice. We struggled over the choice for weeks, but in the end, we chose to leave our jobs and go all in on this new family business. It hasn't been easy, and still we are learning how to make this business better every day. It has been such an amazing blessing to us, such an amazing opportunity for growth as business owners, parents, as husband and wife, and as a family, and we are grateful for it every day. We have gotten to travel all over the country as a family, selling our flags at events we found our fellow patriots attending, from music concerts in San Diego to rodeos in Reno to motorcycle rallies in Sturgis, South Dakota, and countless street fairs and flea markets in between. Along the way, we have met some pretty amazing people, made some lifelong friends, and grown strong as a family. For 15 years, Ginger and I have worked hard developing several products that allow both of us to bring our creative talents together. Our inspiration for these projects has always been the same: to create products we really love and that everyone in our family can play a part in creating. Our goal has always been to bring our family closer together through the work we do together. All right. James Stokey. Did I say that right?
Stokey. Like short and
Stokey. Okay. Thanks. With a name it's, like Abramowitz.
It's spelled weird.
Yeah. You do your best, but I won't forget. Okay. I drove through Sturgis Motorcycle Rally on my farewell trip from Washington to Tennessee. Very cool time. Loud as heck. Patriots galore. Well, how are you today? And how's little man Max?
Doing great. We're staying as busy as we possibly could. Doing our day-to-day grind with producing the flag. And we've got a couple little projects on the peripheral that we're working on.
Great. Well, thanks for coming on today and taking time from your busy day to come on the Mill Creek View podcast and tell your story. It's a good one. And hopefully an American story with a happy ending and not an Irish one that's sad and tragedy. Before we get into it, though, tell us what a typical day at the shop is like.
Well, we generally start, probably around 7 o'clock. It just depends on that type of production week. A lot of times we're just doing our standard flags. Other times we're doing the wavy flags. So depending on the week, I'm either carving the majority of the day, or assembling, or cutting the wood down, or painting, or brazing. My partner Robbie holds down he's trained on pretty much every part of the flags besides just a couple, mainly just the waving flags that he's not up to speed just yet on. But every day is really just the same thing. Just kind of wake up, get to making the flags, get a bunch of sawdust on you. If you leave at the end of the day and you're itchy and your hands are covered with paint, then chances are it's pretty good.
I'm not sure my wife would like to work with me day in and day out as a business partner, hard enough as a life partner. How does Ginger make it work and put up with you?
Struggles. But it's a good challenge for her. I mean, it's every day it's just a new thing. She likes – the reason we work well together is because I'm kind of very far outside the box and always wanting to try new things and test things out and just kind of make,
Yeah, Zoom is an interesting little technology, but we can hear you fine if you want to just keep rolling.
So she struggles, but she likes to have a game plan for every single week, every single day of every week, and then a long-term plan. And I just kind of got used to the idea a long time ago that I don't think that's possible anymore. So we jump in every single day. It drives her nuts, but I've told her, you know, we can't try to plan exactly where we're going to land. We just have to jump. And no matter where we are, we just have to react to it. I mean, for example, 3 weeks ago, business was going along good. Newsmax had featured us in their magazine. It's a month long issue. And right in the middle of the month, our payment gateway was shut down. So we more or less got shut down again, canceled for the fifth time in 2 years. And we had to kind of pivot from making our flags and trying to communicate with customers to just trying to find a new payment gateway, somebody that would allow us to come in, do our work, wasn't going to, you know, arbitrarily at some point say, oh, no, we're stopping your payment gateway and cancel us. The good thing is after you've been canceled five times, we know what these guys do, and we've gotten really good at figuring out how to get back up and running very quickly. The first time we were canceled, we were down for about 2 months. That hurt bad. And parts of what was taken from us, for example, our Facebook marketing, we never even tried to do it again because they'll just shut us down again. So we found new places in this parallel economy to start marketing and start networking and growing our business there. And in doing that, we found all kinds of backup plans. So the more that it kind of seems like big tech kind of tested our business and it just made us stronger. Through that, our family was kind of tested and it was stronger. And now after, you know, five times, it's just they're testing our resolve and it's only getting stronger. Yeah. So
let's get into the details in a second here. I just want to know a little bit more about you all and your company. How long have you been married, and how old is Max now? And do you and Ginger have art or wood carving backgrounds or anything military or police or just patriotic lovers of the flag?
Well, it started actually with Max. We've been married for 16 years and Max is 10. My daughter is 12. We noticed there was something odd. Max had a curiosity or a love for the flag very young. The first time we noticed that, we were driving down the 5 freeway to go to Big Bear in Southern California, and there's this car dealership with this massive flag. It's such a big flag that it's against ordinances, and they're on the news for, you know, having too big of a flag, but they're not going to take it down. It's one of those things. So it's a massive flag. As we're driving down the freeway, I look in the rearview mirror, and Max is saluting it. He's like 2.5 years old. So we're still to this day, we don't really understand where he picked that up. But, you know, Ginger and I remember kind of, you know, saying, look, and he's back there saluting. That was the first time we noticed it. And then just a few other times, there were other instances where it was like that. And like you read in the intro, one day he just came into the garage, and I'm a carpenter. I've been a carpenter his whole life, and for 20 something years, 25 years. My wife has been an artist essentially since she got a degree in it, but she's been an artist since she was born, basically. Huh. So when he came in and came up with this idea to combine our two skill sets, and it was just a perfect idea. And especially me being in construction, there are times where, you know, if I'm doing cabinets and the drywall's not up in a house, I can't do the cabinets. I got to wait for the drywall guys. So if the drywall guys are behind, I'm sitting at home waiting. If I'm sitting at home waiting, that means my tools are sitting there, and which means my wife isn't so happy that I'm sitting there and my tools are sitting there and we're not making money. So, and she'd be going to work every single day, and kind of I'd be sitting there taking the kids to school and kind of doing a leisurely thing in the morning. So it's kind of started our day off kind of frustrating. And when he comes in and says, you know, rather than you sitting here, why don't you make flags? And then in mom's spare time, she'll put art on them. And that way the spare time is not going to waste. We can make money in it.
Is it fair to assume that is it fair to assume Ginger has American values as strong as you do? And you share, I know you share a strong faith in God, but is that a fair assumption?
Yeah. And I think both of them, while they were strong enough in the beginning, but all of this has just made both much, much stronger. She liked to really stay away from politics. When we first, for the first 15 years, basically 14 years of our marriage, she had her beliefs, but she was comfortable leaving her beliefs to be, you know, unspoken. She did it in the voters' booth. So she was not apolitical, but just quiet about it, kept it to herself. When this started happening, she noticed that some of her high school friends, you know, didn't really mention, you know, weren't so supportive of it. She noticed that there was a lot of people willing to sit on their hands when a company is being canceled for no good reason at all. Then when it was us, and she started getting involved with politics, and by getting involved, she's more willing to talk about it. And if someone is saying something that we know isn't good, she'll speak up about it. So much so that last weekend we went to our first political thing. We're supporting Monty Fritz in District 32. This guy is awesome. But the contrast of when we first got married to now, how I was very political, and I've kind of mellowed out a little bit now and more kind of just focused on how we can focused on the issues that I can really do something about, where she is much more interested in the bigger picture and how politics kind of go upstream from the states up to Washington. So when Monty came into our lives, which was such a blessing, she really got behind him because he was getting behind our business. And now all of a sudden, you know, she's like, we got to make time to go to these dinners with Monty. We got to support him. We got to get the word out. And
activated you, as they would say on the left. You became activists because of
I think that that's a good
pushback.
Way to describe it.
Where'd you two meet?
We met at a bar.
Very American.
I had worked as a bartender years before, and I went to go say hello and actually goodbye to a friend of mine who mentored me as a bartender. And I was going to move to Maryland because I was just tired of California back then. So this girl that gets up on stage and sings, and I could not believe what I was listening to. She was beautiful. And she kind of took my breath away. I leaned across to my bartender buddy. I said, you know, what's her deal? And he says, dude, she comes in here, she sings, she wins the singing contest, she gets the money, and she leaves. I said, so she's not a barfly? And he said, no, not at all. She's not a barfly. She's a college student. And I said, wow, that's interesting. And I listened to her sing her second song that night, and I leaned over and I told my buddy, I said, you watch, I'm going to marry her. She's going to have my babies. And he laughed at me and said to settle down, handed me a drink, and just kind of told me to calm down a little bit. My a friend that I was there with that night probably had a little bit too much to drink, started chasing her around the bar, asking her for a number. And when she came by me one time, she said, can you please help? And I was like, all right, this is my way in. And there it is.
I think that's a Cole Swindle song too, as a matter of fact. Heads California, tails Carolina, but I digress. Okay, thank you for sharing that. That's a beautiful story. Have you ever looked at analytics on your sales demographic and who mostly buys your stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we know our demographic pretty well.
Any comments on it?
From before our business went on to an internet business, we were doing sales booths where we'd go to rodeos, we'd go to street fairs, we'd go to carnivals, we'd go to all different kinds of events just to find out who our demographic was. And going to all kinds of differently themed events, from pirate-themed events to country to military and first responder themed venues, we learned that military people, police, country people, southern people, rodeo people, gun people, those were the people that were interested in our flags. The only people that ever came and would really were a problem at these places were, I don't I don't want to go to a negative place, but liberals, they'd come up and tell us that our flags are racist and our flags are all kinds of things. One guy actually spit on our feet and our booth in front of our kids.
Only the racist people.
We had a few incidents where we kind of got to say that at every carnival or every show, there's always going to be one guy that comes in and is just a jerk. So we waited for that person to show up and kindly asked them to leave. And they usually would after they made a scene. But what we noticed back then is the more that that person would make a scene, other people would come from around that were listening to it and buy flags immediately after in kind of a protest. So it was we didn't know it at the time, but it was a bigger, it was something that we experienced on a much bigger level when we got canceled and we're on Newsmax. The outpour of support we got from that was just amazing. And most of those purchases really were people that were protesting. They didn't wake up that day thinking they were going to buy a flag. They didn't even really know that they wanted a flag. But when they saw that the American flag was being canceled and a little boy's American dream was being canceled along with it, they bought a flag. So the more that they try to cancel us, it really does activate our demographic. We have a very patriotic demographic. Most of our customers have served in one way or another to mm-hmm. their country or their community. And the more that they try to shut us up or shut us down, it seems the more flags we sell.
That's exactly right. It's a what do you call it? A dichotomy or something where, you know, the more they hate you, they hated him first. So it works in your favor. That was phrased very badly. Sorry about that. But okay. Now you've been the target of and victim of big tech censorship. That's why you're on here and why you're getting the notoriety. You have a great video called Canceled to Fighting Back on YouTube, owned by Google. And I put it on Mill Creek View's Facebook. Sorry, but Facebook tried to kill you and Max's company for violating their, quote, community standard. It's pretty hard to get away from those guys. They're everywhere. What products of yours would you think they are saying is a danger to society that they would need censoring?
Well, there's several flags that I could actually show. I should go on there today. We have several items that to this day are still rejected. They've lifted some of them. Obviously, the Trump flag was what started it. When we put a picture of President Trump on a flag, that was what triggered the whole thing. Right after that, it was the Second Amendment flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag, 3%er flag. And then they just went crazy and started taking down what we have. We have a multicultural flag. And what that flag is, it's a little bit more than half of it where we keep the Canton. All 13 stripes are represented in this flag and all 50 stars are represented. But the bottom right-hand corner of the flag, we put another country's flag, and it's from that person's country of origin. This flag was created. A high school friend of mine married a gentleman from Great Britain, and they asked us to make them a flag that kind of reflected both their culture, so their daughter could grow up in a house that had a flag in it that represented both the American part of their culture and the Great Britain part of their culture. We were happy to make that flag. After all, America is a melting pot. That is what we're about. It makes us strong. So as soon as we put that flag up on the internet, being from San Diego, most of my friends are immigrants from Mexico, or their parents or grandparents are. So we made a bunch of flags with the bottom was the Mexican flag. We posted those, and then we started getting it. I mean, we've done, I think, 30 different countries now, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Holland. I mean, I could just go on and on. We've done a multicultural flag that encompasses every continent. So when they canceled that flag, they canceled our multicultural flag, our melting pot flag, the flag that is what our country is all about. And they did it in a way that, of course, very obscure language. It violates our community standards, which I don't understand what those standards were, and they won't define them. But it's a very vague statement that allows them to just anything they want, basically. So we actually did one of those flags that was a half American, half gay pride flag. And while that may not represent my personal Christian values very much, we also make Christian flags. I'm not going to tell somebody no, because if that's how it, my goal and Ginger's goal was that we wanted to put as many American flags in as many homes as possible, that the kids growing up in those homes would grow up in a home with an American flag. If the American flag is up in the home, they're going to have some kind of love, some kind of affection, affection towards it. So we didn't really think too much further into that besides, let's just get, if someone asks us to do a flag and it's respect, it's and it's an honest, genuine love of our country and our flag, and they're asking us to do a piece of art that is in the likeness of the American flag and something else that that walked hand in hand with that, we want to do that. I mean, these are not official American flags, so we're not violating any flag code or anything like that. We are making flags in the likeness of the American flag. That's why we can put artwork on them and other things. We're not selling official American flags. So our goal when we set out was to get as many American flags in homes as possible. Some of them have a rancher on it. Some of them have hunters on it. Some of them have rodeo guys on it. Some of them have guns on it. Some of them have a half gay pride flag on it. Whatever it may be, an American flag in a home is a good thing.
Yeah, it's our country, right? So the FBI has added some of America's most patriotic symbols to its terror warning watch list, solidly in line with the Biden administration's increasingly expansive net on so-called domestic terrorism. The memo says symbols are used by anti-government or anti-authority violent extremists like the Betsy Ross flag, which is our first flag, the Gadsden flag, which is my license plate, the Spartan helmet, the Punisher comic book character, which I have a whole closet full of, the 2A, which so happens to be an inalienable right, and a lot of items in your shop's catalog. What's that all about? And obviously, this is the reason that they justify themselves in doing what they're doing.
Well, I don't want to... I definitely don't want to upset the FBI, but I couldn't disagree with them more. I mean, we can't change our history. We actually do sell the rebel flag, too. This is not a flag that I would put in my home. I live in the South. I see these flags everywhere. This is not a flag that I put in my home. But if that's some, it's part of our history. We cannot change it. And there's, if the more you study into it, and when we got into this business, I wasn't so much of a history buff or anything like that. But before we started carrying flags, I would do a little bit of research on them, make sure that, you know, I'm not doing something wrong. So I did a bunch of research on the Confederate flag, found out all kinds of interesting thing about some of the men who fought on the South that were extremely torn about this fight that they were doing. So I don't want to, that's a whole separate show. But after learning about those people, I thought, you know what, while this is a controversial flag, and I know that it might bother some people, and I regret that, but we're going to show the history of our country accurately. So it's a flag that needs to be made. It's not one that we promote. We don't advertise it or anything like that, but it's one that needs to be in the collection of flags. If we're representing American, all of American history, including the Betsy Ross flag, that's a flag that has to be covered. So with the FBI saying that, you know, these kind of flags are in any way hateful, symbolize hate, it's hurtful. It's a little bit scary. But it's the reality that we're living in right now. So rather than pulling them off our website, and rather than just saying, okay, we'll do it, I think it's much better thing to put them out more to get people talking about them. And hopefully we can have a lot of conversations about it and polite conversations.
And your motives are much, much kinder and artistic, of course, than tearing down statues of Robert E. Lee or Calhoun or any of the others, you know, with all of the damage that was done and spray painting and vulgarities and whatnot. I mean, you're talking about hanging things on the wall to honor it, not to defile it. So, you know, back to Facebook, let's say for a second, why did they, you know, come after little old you and big man Max's company? And what's it been like for him to see, you know, the hip and cool technology companies acting the bully? I mean, they were the platform that let you sell your first flags like a business partner in the beginning, and then they stabbed you in the back. Is that a fair description?
That's how we felt about it. We couldn't understand how there was never a time where we were selling flags on Facebook where those flags were not included. The Second Amendment, our multicultural flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag, our We the People flag, all of those were included in our original collection. So this is one of the things that I tell people, that as long as nobody hears you, as long as you don't have traction, these companies don't really care too much. When nobody's listening to you, they'll tell you, oh yeah, we're patriotic. And they do this by their behavior, letting us sell these flags. But as soon as we started getting traction, that's when they shut you down. So if you're making a little bit of money just getting by, they'll let you do that. But if you can actually start making enough money to where you can really share this art and share these ideas, and maybe even share the idea of revisiting, exploring our past, our history, that's when they shut you down. They don't want people talking about that. They certainly don't want a discussion about it.
And your flags are beautiful. I mean, it's hand drawn, Declaration of the Independence, Pledge of Allegiance, 9/11. They're gorgeous. Hopefully everyone goes to the website and checks it out and of course buys some. But that sounds like pretty anti-competitive, antitrust behavior from Shopify and Facebook. Collusion was once a very bad word. And I read you were down 90% in sales after they got active on you. Is that right?
Yeah, that first month when Facebook, so after COVID hit, when we left, when basically all of the events were, the face-to-face events were canceled, and we had to all stay in our homes, we had to very quickly gather ourselves and transform our business from a face-to-face show business to an online business. Facebook was a big part of that. So when it seemed that they were very supportive of in the beginning, because, you know, we were getting a lot of views, we were getting a lot of exposure, and it was working out very well. And then for them to just all of a sudden cancel our marketing, it was scary. So we went from seeing our customers face to face every weekend, every other weekend, to not seeing anybody, being 100% online. And when we did that, during that time, we were able to do that in a way that we were still able to get a loan for our house when we moved to Tennessee. There wasn't a gap. So we picked up the pieces very, very quickly after COVID. And when they did that, it shocked us, because we had no means of marketing, because we couldn't go back to our old way. There still weren't any venues available. There's no, you know, the social distancing and lockdowns and all that. And if we knew that if Facebook was going to shut us down, okay, what do we go to, Twitter? I mean, at that time, Twitter had already booted Donald Trump permanently. So we knew, us being Trump supporters with a Trump flag, we couldn't go there. We weren't going to be welcome there. And even if they did at first, it would have been the same type of thing where they would have let us do it. As soon as we got traction, they would have cut us off too. So we couldn't build anything on Twitter, on anything, on YouTube. There was no platform on the internet that we knew of at that time that was going to just stay out of our business. Yeah. So that's why I tell people that when Facebook kind of blew us up, we literally got blown into the air and landed in the parallel economy where Public Square is and Parler is. And Parler also, they were canceled. I mean, they were the biggest, I believe to date, they were the biggest company that was canceled. And they got hit unbelievably hard. But they're coming back just like us. That's the thing too, is that the customers that go to these companies, when they get canceled and they get back up, the customers come back. The customers want us to be in business. So when all of these companies are squeezing us out of what has been traditionally just the economy, there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there who say, well, you know what, if these companies don't want them, let's start a business to help these people out. And now there's all kinds of entrepreneurs in that parallel economy that are starting services up for people that are really designed around not getting canceled. How can you get a credit card processor and not get canceled? How can you get web hosting and not get canceled? How can someone build your website and not get canceled? All of those things, if you don't, or emails, all of these ways of getting your products out there and communicating with your customers. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've had customers saying, oh, we don't get your emails. Well, check your trash bin. We had one customer who's an IT person. I sent him 13 emails and he kept on calling saying, I'm not getting your email. Why aren't you communicating with me? I said, I just sent you an email 5 minutes ago. Only because he was an IT person, he went into his computer and started looking in the settings, and a new cache was set up in his Google account that was catching everything from our company, only our domain, only my emails. He didn't set it up. Somebody else set it up. So he told me about it. He's, I don't want to say his name. He's somewhat political in California. And he was the person who actually made us aware that, look, you probably have a lot of customers that are not getting your emails. So we had to switch from a Google email to, we switched over to Zoho. So they're not going to get involved with our business. But every single one of these steps, it doesn't matter. Google deleted all of our 4 and 5 star reviews. And the reason I know they did is, one, because I saw the reviews, and I had probably about 15 or 20 friends who, about 15 or 20 friends who bought our flags, and as a favor to us, to just give us a good name on social media and Google, went on there and said, you know, this family is a great family. I love my flag. It's a beautiful flag. Buy from them. And then, you know, I took screenshots of, you know, my friends saying, thank you. That was a really nice review. Well, we went on about 7-8 months ago, and I started trying to find those friends' old reviews. Nothing. And I was alerted to it by a customer who said, hey, about 2 weeks ago, I put on a Google review. I can't find it. Did you guys delete it? I said, I can't delete it. Google doesn't give us any control over it. He's like, well, I put it there and it's not there. So we went on there. Out of the 50 something reviews that we had had months before, there were 2 reviews left. And it was, unfortunately, it was a customer who we messed up. We screwed up the order. We were late on it. And out of 4,500 customers, have, you know, a small amount, about, I think we have about 3 or 4 customers that, you know, we drop the ball on. Still pretty good ratio. It's not good with those customers. It's terrible. And we've tried to, you know, do what we can to patch that up. But when you work so hard and you get those 4 and 5 star reviews and you're tracking it and you're asking people for it, and then you get it and you see it and it's on there, and you know that when people look up your business, that's what you're going to see. So then you just kind of put it off the side and know that that's there, and you don't revisit it every day because you have other things to do. But then 6-7 months later, maybe a year later, you go back and visit it, and all of them are gone.
Gone.
They're gone.
Yeah. I mean, so, if the movie The Patriot was made today, they'd call Mel Gibson a white extremist for waving that flag, you know. But Facebook and Shopify aren't the FBI or even federal agencies. They're private businesses. What business is it of theirs, what you sell, as long as it's not drugs or porn, which they do, by the way? Don't they get a piece of that business? And aren't they successful by your success?
I honestly think that we're not successful enough for them. I'm pretty sure that if we were making them a lot of money, I think that somehow their morality would shift a little bit. I think because we don't make them a whole lot of money, or perhaps I'm coming from the wrong angle, because we don't have the money to pay lawyers to take it to them. They know they can just shut us up quietly, and there's not a whole lot we can do about it.
Well, PayPal effectively stole from you. I mean, $35,000. It's like if a car dealer could come to your house and take another car you didn't buy from them because they don't like you. They had until May, right? And to unfreeze it, how'd that get resolved, or did it?
Harmeet Dhillon stepped in,
PayPal.
The Center for American Liberty. And without her and Mark Miser, we would not have gotten our money back. They worked their butts off for about 10 months for us to get back 90% of the money. And after all of that, they were holding on to the last 10, which we thought, okay, they'll just give it back. You know, they wouldn't. They were holding out for a non-disclosure. And they held on to it for about a month, going back and forth with the lawyers and back and forth to us, different agreements. We finally said, okay, what do you want? They said, if you sign this non-disclosure, we'll give you your last, the final $10,000 back. And I told them, no, I'm not going to sign a non-disclosure. There's absolutely no way that's happening. Keep the $10,000. I'm moving on. At this point, we've gotten enough back to where we can get on our feet. Keep the $10,000. I'm going to go tell my story. And hopefully, you know, that'll make them come. That would make them give it back. So we sent Sean Duffy at Fox News a message, and he responded, I think the next morning, and said, our producer's going to call you. Rachel's going to interview on Fox and Friends. Is that okay with you? Yeah, of course. We went on with Fox and Friends. And so for 11 months, I'm hearing from the lawyers, whenever they need something, I better get it back to them by Thursday, because they have Friday to talk to them. And if they don't hear anything from us by Friday, they're closed until Monday, probably Tuesday, where we hear something back. So there's always a strict deadline that if you don't get it in on Thursday, nothing's happening till Monday or Tuesday. So we go on Fox News on Sunday. 5 hours and 11 months later, when we go on Fox News, they've been holding our money for 11 months. 5 hours after we were on Fox and Friends on a Sunday, they released the last $10,000 without a non-disclosure. So
I don't know if everyone heard that, but you said that the Center for Defending Freedom, which is Harmeet Dhillon's
Center for American Liberty.
American Liberties. I thought it was Harmeet Dhillon's shop. She's a great lady. I'd love to get her on this show. How'd you get her? And you said she was helpful?
She was incredibly helpful. I actually talked to her last Monday just to get some advice. And we were really lucky to how we got Harmeet. My wife's cousin, Mason, was an intern at a law firm that is associated with the Center for American Liberty. And I asked Mason, he's the only lawyer that I knew, what do I do? And he said, you know what? I know a guy that I think can help you. He's conservative. He's all for American rights. Let me call him, tell him what's happening, set up a phone call with you. I talked with Bill. Bill said, this is exactly what the Center for American Liberty is looking for. Let me go to Harmeet, talk with her. See if she can. I mean, she has a huge workload already. And through that connection, because I think, I don't really think it was. I think when Harmeet heard the story, she was interested in it, and she thought it wasn't fair, and she wanted to fight for it. I mean, that's her gut is just to fight for the little guy.
Yeah.
And we were a little guy that really needed someone to fight for us. So she did. Right. She got us.
Well, I hope she says yes to coming on here, because I'd love to talk to her about that and many other cases she's on. But your story, it's more like the mob muscling in on the corner bodega than capitalism. Did you ever reach out to an elected official in Tennessee for help, like Marsha Blackburn or Senator Hagerty or Governor Lee? You mentioned a local politician, but I'm wondering how high that went.
I reached out to to Marsha Blackburn and Bill Hagerty. I didn't get a whole lot of luck there, and I don't put that on them. I know they're very busy and they've got a lot of stuff going on. But actually, Harmeet told me last week that I kind of ran that by her, and that I was a little bit frustrated that how do I get in touch with these people? And she said, James, you're much better off going local, start small, start at the state. Get those people involved, and they can influence the other guys. So Monty came that's where Monty comes in. Monty, I sure hope, we're praying that he wins next month in our election here. He heard about our story just in town. He shows up at our shop and asks me how he can help. I don't know. I've never met this man. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he's here for. He just shows up at the shop and he's not willing. He's not offering, you know, help legally or anything. Can he sand some wood? Can he paint some wood? Can he cut wood? What can he do to help us? I told him, no, you know, we got it locked down. What do you do? And he's all, well, after about an hour, I learned he's running for a seat in District 32. And he tells me about the Tennessee Constitution, how in the Tennessee Constitution, we have a part of it that allows us to, as Tennesseans, our Constitution was written in a time where the Mississippi River was, if you had commerce that you wanted to get out to the world, you had to get to the Mississippi River. If you could get your products to the Mississippi River, you could get them out to the world. The men who wrote our state constitution understood that, so they put a clause in our constitution that does not allow any company, any entity, any government agency, any private industry to block the commerce in any like market like the Mississippi River from Tennesseans being able to get their product out to the world. So based on that, he's saying, We have an angle as Tennesseans that the federal government needs. I believe that the federal government has a role in ratifying our state constitutions. They have an obligation to actually hold it up with us. So I believe that the angle that that Monty wants to go is that our state attorney general would then take this issue up at the federal level and demand that the federal government act on these companies blocking Tennesseans' commerce from getting out to the world via the internet. That the internet is literally the Mississippi River 120 years ago, 150 years ago.
That's so, if you
block that Mississippi River, you block a Tennessean's ability to get their commerce out to the world. If you block a Tennessean from the internet, you're also, or platforms on the internet, you're doing the same thing. So I think that we have a pretty good argument, and Monty is an amazing man. He actually was in the Army, I believe right out of high school he joined. He served. He went to in the private industry with Y-12. They do nuclear energy. After 9/11, Monty joined again, rejoined, re-enlisted, and went back over to the Middle East and fought again. When he came, he got back with Y-12, finished out his thing, was actually appointed by President Trump's administration to help, I believe what his job was, to replenish our nuclear reserves that have been under the Obama administration was non-existent. And Monty did it successfully. Now, Monty's taken on, Monty has been fighting for other people for 40 years, and now he's doing it for us.
Great. All right. Well, we got a few minutes left with you. I want to get a few more questions out. I'm here talking to James Stokey, right? Great American.
Stokey.
Great dad.
Short and stocky.
So James, your company, Your American Flag Store, is based here in Harriman, Tennessee. Again, everyone go to youramericanflagstore.com and buy some flags in time for Veterans Day coming up in November. I've got mine bought and coming UPS. Went with the 1776 one. James, the first state to fight back against big tech was Florida with Senate Bill 7072. Law is in place. Citizens can sue the tech companies for damages up to $100,000. Under the new law, small businesses are protected from unfair censorship, shadow banning, and or deplatforming. Sound familiar? From social media and tech companies. Social media companies are also now unable to ban Florida users without warning, as they must now give a 7-day heads up before a potential ban, explaining the reason underlying and offering the chance to resolve the issue. Any thoughts in our last 60 seconds on maybe relocating to Florida? And I did have one more question I really wanted to get to, so be quick on that one.
No, I'm happy here in Tennessee. I love Florida. I think their governor is incredible. I have family in Florida. I love Florida. And, you know, I'm pretty confident in the people here in Tennessee standing behind us. And I think we're going to be fine.
Good. So tell me about Dream Warriors. A buyer named Renee said, what a great story for all ages. My seven-year-old was able to read it with a little help. The illustrations are done. It makes you feel like you're part of the story or well done. Great job from start to finish. I would definitely recommend this book. Sounds very cool. And not just part three of the Freddy Krueger Nightmare on Elm Street series anymore.
No, that's that story started when I was a little kid. I had bad nightmares. My brother was a jerk, and he'd sleep underneath our beds and wait for us to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and grab our feet and pull us under in the middle of the night and scare us to death. So I had bad nightmares. One time I went and woke my mom and dad up, and my mom and dad were just sick of me always wanting to sleep with them. So as my dad walked me back to my bedroom, he picked up a stuffed animal and a little squirt gun, I believe, or a Nerf gun or something, and put the two together, laid me down on bed, and told me a story about this stuffed animal that he had bought that stuffed animal and brought it home from a business trip for me. And he told me that he looked all over for this Master Henry who fought in Dream Warriors, and he protected kids from dreams. My dad gave me this stuffed animal, never had another bad dream. I told a couple friends, they did it with their kids. Their kids never had a bad dream. So my wife, being an illustrator, we thought that we should bring the story to life, and we wrote a book, and we have a teddy bear that comes with it. So if your kids have bad dreams and are wanting to sleep with you and you want to be sleeping alone, you buy this book, you buy the bear, we send it out to you, you tell the story, and Master Henry will protect your kids and their dreams.
Cool. Well, I hope everyone listening goes out and buys one of your flags or 10 and your book, and that you and Max and Ginger stay in business a very long time, because without you, I don't know who does. So God bless you and your family, James. Thanks for coming on with us today. Before you go, tell everyone how they can follow you or where they can go and buy your stuff.
You can come to our website at youramericanflagstore.com. Excuse me. You can go to our website at youramericanflagstore.com. You can check out our story at youramericanfamily.com.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on with us. Good luck.
Thank you.
This pawn shop ticket for this week's rent.
Well, last week's check. Welcome to the Steve and Steve segment of our show. Me, Steve, and Steve, the producer, where we cover what we just heard and anything else on my mind today. Steve, what'd you think of that?
Oh, I liked it. I enjoy hearing patriots that are having to battle it out. Who would have ever thought, Steve, that a guy that's selling flags would get flack from a company like Facebook or PayPal or any of these guys for just selling flags? And what came to my mind, and I didn't want to interrupt your interview, but anybody who's listening to this who's just starting a business out, please get yourself a merchant account. It's what all sales companies have. It's what all stores have. You get a merchant account. It's an independent merchant account. You tie it to your corporate name and your bank account, and all charges at that point are done with a credit card. You don't use PayPal. You don't use Patreon or any of these things. You literally just have a merchant account, and it's easy to set up. You can just do a quick Google or a search, and you'll find one, and that will take care of probably 99% of all financial headaches.
And they don't care at all what you're buying and selling as long as you pay your bills.
Well, I don't mean to be crass, but how do you think porn industry keeps in business is they use merchant accounts. So come on. Do you think they care?
Yes. Well, hopefully.
I'm not saying it.
Yeah. All right.
You know what I'm saying.
I do know exactly what you're playing. We just want to not be canceled. And that's a great way to not be canceled. So on my mind today, here in Tennessee, a group of Tennessee Republican lawmakers have sent a letter to the Vanderbilt University Medical Center, basically saying, while those 18 years and older are recognized as legal adults and free to make decisions in their best interest, it is an egregious error of judgment that an institution as highly respected as Vanderbilt would condone and promote harmful and irreversible procedures for minor children in the name of profit. Vanderbilt Pediatric Transgender Clinic's practices qualify as nothing less than child abuse, the letter says. Further, we are appalled that these reports demonstrate threats by Vanderbilt personnel to take adverse action against employees who are conscientious and religious objectors to genital disfiguring and double mastectomies of children. The same day, Steve, Seattle Children's Hospital stated, Seattle Children's is the only pediatric academy medical center with fellowship-trained plastic surgeons who provide gender-affirming surgery in our region, Washington, Wyoming, Alaska, Montana, and Idaho, the website says. We treat teens and young adults who are patients of Seattle Children's Gender Clinic. We also accept patients who are receiving gender-affirming care through providers outside of Seattle Children's. Ah, this all stems from a new law that health insurers must cover gender-affirming care, including surgical treatments that were previously denied coverage. Democrats rejected a proposal to apply the new law to patients over 18 years old. It's one in a series of new laws that, taken together, allow children as young as 13 years old to make serious health care decisions. The consequences are immense. That's a Washington law I'm talking about, SB 5889. What do you think of that, Steve?
Well, Marco Elias, a Democrat from, my little town of Linwood, has been a purveyor of this for years, and he pushed for the bill. It got through, and basically it forces companies or insurance companies to pay for teen surgeries without parental notice, because there's a whole combination of bills that have been through, and, of course, our illustrious tyrant, Mr. Inslee, pushed, you know, signed them into a legislation. I just recognize how satanic, and I use that term to be honest, directly towards Marco and all the others down there in my Washington state legislation. These people are evil. They under the name of compassion are doing this, and there's anything but compassion when you're dealing with someone who's under 18, who's emotionally easily manipulated. And quite frankly, I've done enough research to know that anybody who has gender issues has been most likely terribly, terribly abused since they were children, and now or in a very abusive situation, family destructive environment. And they are not in a position to make these kind of decisions, and they need to be actually counseled and assisted to help them clarify what is at the core of these feelings. And I think you will find a lot of them are just screaming out for help, and instead of getting help, they're getting sent to a living hell, because when you once you go down this track, it's hard to replace, you know, Steve, once you've had these surgeries, you can't go back.
It's irreversible. And just like James's story reminds me of the city council member who might shut down a little girl's lemonade stand for not having the correct permits in place or whatnot. This, I have to say, I'm happy that the Tennessee legislature is willing to take a stand. I'm very, very disappointed that this Washington is the exact opposite, but here's where it gets even worse. Today, the American Medical Association, one, American Academy of Pediatrics, two, and Children's Hospital Association all signed a letter to U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland. The letter claimed that medical personnel have faced increased threats via social media and that they were elevated and justifiable fear among families, patients, and staff. These coordinated attacks threaten federal protected rights to health care for patients and their families. The attacks are rooted in an intentional campaign of disinformation where a few high-profile users of social media share false and misleading information targeting individuals, physicians, and hospitals, resulting in a rapid escalation of threats, harassments, and disruptions of care across multiple jurisdictions. It goes on to say, our organizations have called on technology companies to do more to prevent this practice on digital platforms. Now, doesn't that sound exactly like what Facebook and Spotify and PayPal did to James when he tried to sell American flags that his five-year-old son came up with? But they're trying to say, no, 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 the internet's a big bully. Please, technology companies, save us, because we want to mutilate children for profit, but we're not allowed to. What in the heck is going on in bizarro world medical institutional?
Steve, this is the exact playbook that they've been using for when people talked about the COVID being a scam. They used this when people were talking about the injections as being dangerous. This is the same thing they use when people said voting was fraudulent. This is the same playbook when people were saying no to the critical race theory. They've used the same playbook every single time. It's called using their corporate buddies to shut down. It's corporate cronyism to shut down any voice of reason, any voice that speaks truth. And lest us not forget that when the light comes in to the darkness flees.
That's right. And this is also the playbook that they used when the National School Board Association and the Department of Justice and the FBI worked together to label parents as domestic terrorists. So the playbook is pretty darn clear. The powers that be are in control. And I'll just say for the last thing, November can't come soon enough. Vote accordingly.
I don't understand how you ever did without me. I don't understand how I bring you down to your knees.
Oh, I like that song. It's hard to stop listening to it. Okay, welcome to our Thought of the Week. But before I share, I want to remind everybody to subscribe to the Mill Creek View podcast. Just go to Deezer, Spotify, or iHeartRadio, anywhere you want, and hit the subscribe button. Did I mention you got me to number 4 last week? Yes.
No.
I did.
That's great.
Well, you guys did, and you're awesome. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you continue to. I hope you find it interesting. Okay, thought of the week. And let us not forget that in honoring our flag, we honor the American men and women who have courageously fought and died for it over the last 200 years. Patriots who set an ideal above any consideration of self. Our flag flies free today because of their sacrifice, Ronald Reagan. And one more. It was leadership here at home that gave us strong American influence abroad and the collapse of imperial communism. Great nations have responsibilities to lead, and we should always be cautious of those who would lower our profile because they might just wind up lowering our flag. Also, Ronald Reagan. Well, that's it for this episode. Really hope you liked it. There are many more on the way. Write to me at millcreekview@yahoo.com. If you liked it, if you didn't like it, constructive criticism, always appreciated. Don't be nasty. I won't write you back. And I just might read it on the air. Until next time, this is your host, Steve Abramowitz, Managing Director of Mill Creek Financial Partners. Rest in peace, Loretta Lynn, and peace in our time.
Children and the pumpkins at the county fair. They were looking for America.